Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible. Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat and grandson of Nimshi, was a commander in the army of Ahab. He emerged as a leader, chosen by God, to bring about reform after the reign of Ahab, who had led Israel into idolatry and provoked God's judgment. Ahab, known for his wickedness, had married Jezebel, the daughter of the king of the Sidonians, and together they promoted the worship of Baal and Ashtoreth. Despite God's patience, Ahab's sins eventually led to his downfall, as he was killed in battle against the Arameans. In God's plan to bring judgment upon Ahab's family, Jehu was anointed as one of three men tasked with executing this judgment. God instructed the prophet Elijah to anoint Hazael as king over Aram, Jehu as king over Israel, and Elisha as the successor to Elijah as prophet. Jehu's role was specifically to eliminate any survivors who escaped Hazael's sword, while Elisha would carry out the same task for those who escaped Jehu's sword. The destruction of Ahab's dynasty was inevitable. Jehu's path to the throne began with the divine anointing, spoken of by God to Elijah. According to the biblical account in 2 Kings 9, the prophet Elisha sent one of his disciples to anoint Jehu as king over Israel. Jehu's anointing set into motion a chain of events that would shape the course of Israel's history. After he learned that God wanted him to be king, Jehu wasted no time in securing the throne. He devised a plan to prevent Joram, Ahab's son, the current king, and the man he had pledged to serve, from discovering his anointing. Jehu's men sealed off the city of Jezreel to prevent any messengers from reaching Joram. Jehu then swiftly carried out his mission, killing Joram and Ahaziah, the king of Judah, who happened to be visiting Joram. Jehu's swift and decisive actions were driven by a zeal for God's justice and a desire to eradicate the idolatry and corruption that had plagued the nation under Ahab's rule. After eliminating Joram, Jehu turned his attention to the wicked queen Jezebel.
So the great Jehu approaches, does he? The self-proclaimed anointed one is ready to bring his judgment upon me. But does he truly understand the legacy I leave behind? The mark I have made on this kingdom? I will not bow down before his threats. I will stand tall, defending all that I have accomplished. They call me wicked, a woman of evil influence. But what do they know? I have brought prosperity to this land, opening the doors to trade and enriching our people with the wealth of foreign nations. I introduced the wonders of Sidonian culture, the arts, and the knowledge that they would have never known otherwise. I elevated Israel's status among the nations. Who were these people before I came here? They were a nation of nomads, descended from slaves, with primitive beliefs and a simple culture. Yes, I may have introduced the worship of Baal, but was it not a breath of fresh air? A new way of thinking, breaking free from the stagnant traditions of the past. Baal, the god of fertility and abundance, brought blessings upon our fields and fruitful harvests. The people saw the results with their own eyes. They accuse me of persecuting the prophets, of trying to extinguish the worship of Yahweh. But let me tell you, those so-called prophets were nothing more than fanatics, stirring up unrest and challenging my authority. I could not allow that, not when I was building a strong kingdom. There was no prophet more insufferable and more injurious to this nation than that Tishbite, Elijah. We are better off now that we are rid of him. Although, his bald-headed servant who fancies himself as Elijah's successor is annoying in his own right. And what of Naboth's vineyard? A minor incident blown out of proportion. The man refused to sell his property, standing in the way of progress. Was it a crime to desire the best for our kingdom? I took what I needed, and the vineyard became a symbol of my determination and the strength of my rule. Now, here comes Jehu, believing he can erase my influence with a sword. But he underestimates me. He underestimates the power of my spirit, my resilience. I have left my mark on Israel. I have shaped its destiny, challenged its traditions, and brought it into the wider world. They may vilify me, but they will never forget me. I can hear the sounds of approaching horses. Jael and his men, no doubt. This man, who traitorously turned on my son, the king. This man who once served as a commando in my husband's army and in my son's army, who is now just another killer. Let him come. I do not cower in fear. I will not beg for mercy. I will face Jael with my head held high. Courtesan, bring me my finest jewels and a wig. And summon the makeup artists to come and attend to me. I am still the Queen Mother and I will face Jael looking my best. Come, Jael, with your sword and your self-righteousness. I am ready to face my destiny, ready to defend my name and my reign. I am Jezebel, Queen of Israel, and my spirit shall endure beyond the ages.
Not long thereafter, Jael, attended by his men, marched through the gates of the palace. Jezebel, adorned in her finery, came to the window of her upper chamber and looked down.
Have you come in peace, you murderer? You're just like Zimri, who murdered his master.
Jael ignored the queen mother and called out so that those in the palace could hear him.
Joram, the son of Ahab, is dead. I am Jael, 10th king of Israel. Who is on my side? Who?
Some of the officials of the court came to the palace windows to indicate their support for the new king. Jael did not hesitate.
Throw her down.
And so they did. She suffered a gruesome death. When she fell, her blood splattered on the wall and horses, and Jael's horse trampled her corpse. Nonplussed, Jael, along with the captains of his command and servants, made a triumphant entrance into the palace. He faced no resistance. As if he had been the longtime master of this house, Jael requested that the royal chefs prepare him a meal. After he ate and drank, he ordered Jezebel's body to be taken for burial. His servants discovered only her skull, her feet, and the palms of her hands. Her flesh had been eaten by stray dogs, fulfilling a prophecy Elijah had made to Ahab, recorded in 1 Kings 21. Jezebel had a significant influence on the dynasties of both the northern and southern kingdoms. Her son, Joram, succeeded Ahab as king, and her grandson, Ahaziah, also became king of Israel. Jezebel's daughter, Athaliah, married Jehoram, the king of Judah. This marriage formed a political alliance between the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. It should be noted that, some scholars have argued, that Athaliah was not the daughter of Jezebel and Ahab, but rather the daughter of Omri, Ahab's father, and thus was Ahab's sister. Still, at the very least, she was raised in Ahab's household, under the influence of Jezebel. And she brought idolatry to Judah. Athaliah's son, Ahaziah, became the king of Judah, but his reign was short-lived, as he was killed by Jael, during his campaign against the house of Ahab. Note that this Ahaziah is not the same as the Ahaziah who reigned in Israel, who was Jezebel's son. Thereafter, Athaliah herself came to the throne of the southern kingdom, reigning for 7 years. She is the only queen who ruled either kingdom. She was eventually deposed by her grandson, Joash, who had been raised in hiding. And Joash would return the people of Judah to the worship of Yahweh. Besides her literal evil practices, Jezebel became a symbol of wickedness and idolatry throughout biblical history, representing the corrupting influence of pagan practices and the consequences of turning away from God. She serves as a cautionary example of the dangers of idolatry, spiritual compromise, and the pursuit of power at the expense of faithfulness to God. The name Jezebel is mentioned once in the New Testament, specifically in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 2 verse 20, Jesus addresses a letter to the church in Thyatira, criticizing them for tolerating a woman who calls herself a prophetess and leads people into sexual immorality and the worship of idols. This woman is referred to as Jezebel as a symbolic name, associating her with the wickedness and idolatry of the biblical figure Jezebel from the Old Testament.